590 WKZO. A good Saturday morning, and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your gardening expert, Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence brought to you by Waddell's Nursery Floral Garden Center, located right there at the corner of Millam and 12th. And, of course, joining us in the studio is Andy Waddell. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, nice and sunny out.
It is. Looking for, some refreshing rain later, I suppose.
Did I hear tomorrow? 65, yeah, close to 70?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, you did.
So if I take that, I'll take the rain.
Yeah.
Okay. All
you
right.
Don't have to shovel rain.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to, pro with the con there. So, yeah, nice weather. Nice weather. So, care if we get some dirty fingers?
Let's get our fingers nice and dirty.
You bet. Hey, good morning, everybody, and let's dig into that garden this morning. And let's grab that journal real quick and go through some things that I think are important today, and going through a little history today, too, at the same time, so you get a little history lesson at the same time. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today for another edition of Over the Garden Fence. And I'm your host, Andy Waddell. Lots to do today in our gardening and out in the yard and in our landscaping. Like I told him, let's get that hands dirty. The brutal winter had effects on our landscape plants and trees and really took its toll. So let's ask this. How did my plants fare? Obviously, with all the calls last week and all the clients in the store, out in the nursery, out in the store, trying to figure out what to do with the plants, it really took a beating. So let's look at our weather factor, and let's do an assess on our plants. The brutal winter really had an effect on those trees. So there's a couple of four or five things that the winter provides that really has a big question for us gardeners. How did my plants fare? So with snow, the insulating effect on snow has soil temperatures helped immensely to protect root systems against sub-zero temperatures, help minimize the depth in which the soil froze. The deeper the frost goes in the soil, the more damage to the tender feeding roots. There will be less of them available this spring to provide water and nutrients to the plant. The increased soil moisture available at the greater depth will benefit plants in the spring. Spring thaws absorbed into the soil. And this will be a plus later on at the season. This year we might have any kinds of drought conditions. So that's a pro for the snow. Now the con on the snow was definitely animal damage to the base of the trees and shrubs will be very severe. You have all called in the last few weeks, and one person, Tim, last week said she thought she had disease on all of her trees because they're all white down at the base of the plant. And if you look closely, it is all nibbling from mice and shrew, vole. Yep, mainly mice. So the deep snow provided an ideal shelter for rabbits and mice to feed on plants on the bark, undetected by both us and predators, allowing them to cause major damage and even death to the entire plant if the plant is fully girdled around the trunk of the tree. In particular, watch for burning bush, Japanese maples, fruit trees, and elms. So plowed areas will not receive the benefits of snow cover as described above, so trees with root systems under driveways will experience more root damage from exposure to our low temperatures. So there's a few pros and a few cons to the snow. Now, with the cold, the pro for this year, talking about it the other day at the store, the best thing about the cold this year, it will take its toll on overwintering insects that cause damage to trees. We're expecting significant reductions this year on boring insects and gypsy moth. This will be good news for many oaks, which have been under high pressure in the last few years, and things like chestnut. So that's a pro to the cold, but the con is planting zone limits will be tested. This winter will be a demise for marginally hardy plants. Some could experience major dieback or death, including Japanese maples again and sweet gum, forest pansy redbud, and even privet hedges, especially like golden privet. Nursery stock sometimes grown in the south or with the southern genetics could also have cold damage. Even if the trees are hardy for our zone, they can still have problems if they were shipped from the south. Sometimes the same species grown in the south compared to grown in the north will have different capabilities of adapting to our environments. Things like red oak, red maple, sweet gum, tulip, poplars, and redbuds all have sensitivity. Sometimes they're not able to be found grown in Michigan. That's why Michigan nurseries tend to bring those up. Things like pear are no problem. A little difference in your growth on your plant. So a couple pros and cons to snow and to cold. Now let's look at ice. On the pro side, there is none. There is, on the con, I will say ice is easily one of nature's most destructive forces against trees. Ice is second only to wind. Combine them together and you will have massive destruction force like we did this year. Even strong trees can succumb to the weight of ice. But there are several factors that are more likely to fail, including the species, the age, the size, and the location. Our last thing is salt. And we all used a lot of salt this winter. So if you have slippery areas, you know, the pro to salt, really, other than making sure the sidewalk is not slippery, the pros are none. However, salt is easily remedied by flushing out with large amounts of water in the spring and leaching out the plant's root zones. In several cases, it'd be easier to replace the soil or to apply a heavy amount of gypsum. Gypsum will work on the soil and freshen and loosen it up, allowing that salt to break through and get through the barrier of the soil at the top. The con is, with more salt than usual, is always used. Every single day, if there's icy sidewalks, every single day we put more salt on the sidewalks. Sodium is a destroyer of soil structure, reducing pore space and chemically causing the soil to be more compact as it breaks down large particles into smaller ones. The more familiar issue with salt is the burning effect that it has on lawns and plants. And the reverse, actually, it reverses the flow of the water from the soil and the plants, begins to pull the water out of your plants. That's how you end up seeing the brown on winter damage when you have too much salt, like an overspray against a highway. So with that effect, everybody, and I love the winter. Tim, I like the winter. I love the winter. But
okay.
I love the winter because spring's right behind it.
Oh, this is true.
Okay.
This
and, true. You know, and Michigan, you got to figure, once you're about fed up with spring, here comes summer.
That's right.
And once you get so hot that you're like, oh, please, am I in the Sahara? Here comes fall. So, you know, Michigan really has some benefits that you might not see other parts of the states.
Wide variety.
That's right. So with a long story about winter damage, again, I'm trying to take I really took a beating on spring with our plant material. So to prevent next winter, I'm telling you right now, for rodent damage, Repellex tablets. Stop in the store. We'll show you how to apply them. You put a pallet tablet down on the plant at the right time, maybe multiple tablets on a bigger plant, and we'll actually make the plant repels, or it will not kill the animal, but definitely the animal will not like it. Repellex sprays, wire, just chicken wire around the plant itself to avoid the rabbits, or even tree wrap around a trunk of a tree. So there's just a few ideas. And when we come back, I have got a whole bunch of items on fruits. Last year, or last week, Tim, we had a caller questioning on the soil temperature on when we want to put like peas and potatoes in because it's still cold in the ground. So we come back to that.
All right, that we shall. And, of course, your comments and questions for Andy this morning, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO.
Backyard will provide you the best quality fruit around and save you a bunch of money over supermarket prices. Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center has a great selection of fruit trees and berry plants, and now's the best time to plant them. This week, you can save $10 on your choice of fruit trees. Choose from over two dozen varieties of 6 to 9 foot fully branched fruit trees growing in pots and ready to transplant. Sale priced at just $39.97 and $49.97. There's nothing tastier than strawberry shortcake with fresh Michigan strawberries. Pots of 25 strawberry plants are now just $9 or $10. Many other fruit and berry plants have just arrived at Weddell's, including raspberries, blackberries, and grapes. Don't forget the healthy benefits of herbs in your diet. Fresh herb plants have just arrived. There's a great selection, and they're just $3.69 each. Now is also the time to plant potatoes, onions, garlic, asparagus, and more for the tastiest food fresh from your own garden. Growing your own healthy food is easy, especially with the advice of the friendly staff at Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millen and 12th Street.
Kalamazoo's news when you need it. Kalamazoo's Morning News, every weekday at 6 on 590 WKZO.
WKZO, as we continue with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence. Joining us in the studio, Andy Waddell. You can be a part of the program as well if you have a comment or question. 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Just like Bob, calling in from Kalamazoo. Good morning, Bob. You're on 590 WKZO.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Oh, fine. Along with what you were talking about today, I've got an interesting question. Last fall, I planted a lot of crocus and tulip bulbs, you know, in the back pots, about maybe 40 of them. Not one of them has come up. And in the front yard, I notice established ones that have been there for years are coming up. But I wondered if the weather was having something to do with it. If I dig them up, are they going to be mush? You know, there was ice and everything on top of them. But I thought, wow, crocus and tulip bulbs usually come up by now.
Yeah. My thoughts are, Bob, where did you place those pots? Maybe, I'm just making some examples, in the front yard, is there more sun? Was the ground able to warm up a little faster than where those pots maybe got stashed? And because you healed them in or buried those pots or mulched them in, there's not enough sunlight or not enough warmth getting to that pot? So here's my thoughts. Maybe get those pots lifted up because you're going to want to enjoy them soon. Bob, take one and just tip it over. You're not going to ruin the bulb by lifting it over and seeing, has that turned to mush? Did some rodents get down in those pots and in the pots eat some of that bulb up? Or are they just a little farther behind than the ones popping up in the front yard?
Yeah, okay.
You know, I think a lot of times when you, I can go to our front yard on our south side, I seen crocus in bloom yesterday. But I know over on the north side we have crocus. I don't see anything yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wondered if I wasted my time and money on it. I'm going to start digging around on them. Most of them, it's half and half. We're in the sun and pretty warm, but every day it's like, you know, watching a pot trying to boil.
Yeah. My thoughts are, Bob, when you're doing this next time, you did not waste your time and your money. But remember that a pot above winter freezes, thaws. And we really suggest if the pots were set outside for the winter, maybe put a little mulch or straw, or dig one little shovel full and stick that pot down. So that way that pot, when it freezes, stays froze all winter.
Okay.
And sometimes when you have fluctuation above ground, it ends up not necessarily ruining, but disturbing sometimes root structure, not having it come up as well.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Bob, good luck on those crocus and tulips.
Oh, thank you.
All
right, appreciate the call, Bob. Again, if you have a comment or question for Andy this morning, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everybody. And it's actually kind of fun. Bob is one of many people that is at a point, Tim, where you get flustered with spring. A lot of people end up putting tulips in pots. And then bring them out a little bit at a time, and then you'll have maybe some bloom here a couple more weeks, have some bloom there, and in a couple more weeks, in each couple weeks, you could take a few pots out of the ground, get them up in the sunlight, and have a prolonged bloom period rather than just sticking all the tulips in the ground.
Oh.
Number two, you could take the pot and move the pots like in the front yard where everybody's looking.
All right.
And sink some of the pots down the ground, and voila, you have spring color, and you didn't even plant them there. See?
I love it. And let's head back to the phones, giving us a call in from Portage. It's Will. Good morning.
Hey, Will, how are you?
Good, thank you. Years ago, I bought some pampas grass from y'all from when you were still on Millom, and I've never transplanted it, and it's quite a clump. I just got done chopping it off yesterday. And I wanted to transplant part of that. How might I go about doing it? Do I just cut straight down and try to just pull the roots out? Or
Will, you got a job ahead of you. it's not funny. Pampas grass or the hardy areanthus is a strong root. But what I do is I take a flat spade or a curved shovel, and I'd first sharpen it. I put a good sharp blade on it and go down in the center of that. You might as well take that pampas grass and lift the whole thing, chop it all up, split it so you have 6 or 8, 5 or 7 eyes on each hill, and then set the original mother plant down in the ground. You'll probably benefit the new plant, especially being several years. Sometimes, Will, the center of grasses tend to die out and the outside gets more vigorous. So if I was to do that, I'd lift at least part of it up, chop it off. Item number two, my grandfather used to actually take a saw sometimes to those grasses because they get so thick, Will. So that's what I'm saying about a sharp shovel. You almost want to cut that root structure up. It's going to be that thick when you lift it. And so setting it back down in, little peat moss, little compost, and then why I'm saying to maybe lift the whole thing if you can or a good part of it, you'll rejuvenate the original plant.
Okay, and that won't kill the plant or anything like
no,
that?
No. Now, if you want to just...
Should I pre-soak that before I stick it
back? Oh, wouldn't hurt it a bit. Well, you're going to help yourself just by soaking the ground a little bit. Now, you got to figure, right now the ground's pretty moist,
yep. So
it's going to be okay. But, you know, even if you left part of it and got something sharp down in there and really aim right down inside the root ball of that and push down with your feet, because it's going to take a challenge to split a nice chunk of it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good luck on that.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Will Joyce right here in Kalamazoo. Good morning. You're on 590 WKZO.
Hey, Joyce, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a question about my hydrangea. Am I too late to trim that?
Okay, Joyce, I'm going to ask you a couple things.
Okay.
Is it the hydrangea that is a big plant?
Yes, and,
okay,
huge.
Okay, so huge. Tell me, Joyce, what you think is huge.
Well,
6 feet?
No, not 6 feet.
Okay, all right.
And has more it, like four.
Okay, and it has white flowers?
No, it has pink.
Okay. And you know the variety?
No, I don't.
That's okay. Now, if you have...
It's an oral plant.
Good. Chances are it's a paniculata family and a pink hydrangea. No, you are not too late to prune summer-blooming hydrangeas. That flower on the old wood can be pruned right now because they only bloom on new wood.
Right.
Now, big-leafed hydrangeas, the one that have the large leaf with the big mop head flowers, would it be that kind you have?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't call them that huge.
Good. So now if you have woody growth on them and you want to clean that up, now is an ideal time. Because, see, they only flower on new wood, Joyce.
Okay.
So if you cut it up and clean it up, you'll get more growth, you get more flower out of it.
Good. Thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you, Joyce. Have
You're
a good
welcome.
Day.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
Thank you very much for the call. Joyce, head over to Pawpaw. Kathy, good morning. You're on 590 WKZO.
Hey. Good morning, Mr. Waddell.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
I am fine.
Can
I have a question about hydrangeas also. I have a forever pink that's getting quite big, and I wanted to divide it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked at it, I don't see shoots. What I see is it kind of all growing out from the middle.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm not sure exactly how to transplant it, or not transplant it, but to divide it.
You bet. Now, Kathy, unlike Will a couple calls ago that has pampas grass, that's really going to be a job. Forever Pink, go ahead and lift that plant up and kind of massage it. It sounds absolutely funny, but get your fingers in there and kind of start pulling some of that root structure apart. You're going to see where maybe some of those corms or rhizomes start splitting away from the mother plant a little bit. See if you can actually pull some of that away, and maybe with a pruner or a little loppers, go ahead and split that up. Yes, it comes from all the base plant, and so a lot of those shoots are coming up from the ground. Looks very hard to transplant, but chances are if you get a root structure that's got two or three eyes off that, you'll probably get that plant to transplant fine. What I might suggest is make sure it goes back into a mulched area and cool roots. I think a hydrangea sometimes the first couple of years slows right down when you transplant it, and so there's also mycorrhiza or mites that would help. Definitely in a transplant shock with moving a forever pink. Now, I like, Kathy, at least to get two or three eyes or shoots coming out when you are transplanting that.
Okay.
Don't just try to do one. That's probably not enough. Try to get it so you got a clump of eyelets coming off that plant. Now, how old's the plant?
Oh, probably about 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, yeah. I think it's time to be able to split some of it and leave some of it there at the same time.
Now, it's about 4.5 to 5 feet tall. Should I trim it back?
I would. I'd probably take that growth, especially on the transplant end of it. You're going to do it better by cutting that in half.
Right.
You will. If I was to tell you for flower, I might say not to prune, but because you're doing a transplanting this year, I would go ahead and you're severing the roots, sever the top at the same time.
All right. Now, I wouldn't dare just try to chop it, leave it in the ground, and then kind of dig around from one side and then kind of take off half of it.
Mm-hmm. You could do that, leaving the other half in the ground. Sure. Yep. The idea is, if you want to kind of leave an undisturb a portion of that plant, if it, most of it's doing good and you see a spot down in there that you could divide and kind of move your shovel in there and pull that chunk away that you think will split off, go ahead. That way you're not disturbing the rest of the plant.
Oh, okay. I have a second question. This is about rhodendrons.
Uh-huh.
Some of mine are not looking very good. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of brown leaves.
Mm-hmm.
What should I do? Should I cut them off? Should I leave them await or what?
Please, if you can, Kathy, leave them on right now. If they're whitish brown, chances are that plant leaves are not going to make it. But if they're a greenish brown or a brownish black, I might myself would just wait a few more weeks. What's going to happen is rhododendron, when they feel that cold, they curl. And they try to protect their leaves. The leaves in the center curl, and the undersides go underneath the leaf structure. The center sunburns. So the leaf itself tends to have a sunburn on it. But in a few more weeks, those underside of those leaves will probably, the curl will go away, and they'll start flushing out a little bit more. Then you'll start seeing, yep, that plant or that portion of that plant is not going to make it. That's when I might start trimming it back. But let Mother Nature take its course. Let some, especially being possibly an established rhododendron, Kathy, let Mother Nature do its work. I would say you'll get new growth to push off the old. And yes, some of the top will then end up needing to be trimmed, but you'll be surprised how much comes back.
Yeah, I want to dig out a couple of them because they're getting too tall, and I want to put a shorter one in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rhododendron are actually fairly easy to move because a very large rhododendron has a very small root ball. They're all fibrous, no taproot. They come out like a little pancake. So when you are moving them, mycorrhiza will not help with rhododendron, but like plant starter or vitamin B1 plant start would help on transplanting along with like composted cow manure. If you were going to move rhododendron, I would do it here in the month of April. Oh, yeah, I would, or I'd do it in July after they have set their buds for next year.
The problem is I can't remember which ones are different colors.
Yeah.
I wanted to coordinate that.
Yeah. And some of that is, you know, when you can see maybe some of those buds crack, Kathy, you might identify that flower. But when they're in flowers, when you really probably don't want to move them, they want to be moved early.
All right. Now, if one is a little bit larger than the other and I'd like to cut it back, okay, I'm digging it out. I'm going to put it someplace else, but it's gangly looking.
Mm-hmm.
So how far back can I cut it?
Yep, there's a dead zone on rhododendron, so you want to make sure to leave some leaves on.
Okay.
If there's 10 leaves on a branch, at least leave those bottom two, so some of those, you're not leaving a stump, but you're getting some photosynthesis from those two leaves you've left. But you're actually encouraging on those stems. The woody stem, believe it or not, has live bud tissue that the only way it'll leaf out is if you prune it. So by pruning it, Kathy, you'll probably have some of that understory leaf back out nicely.
Oh, terrific. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Waddell.
You bet, Kathy. Good luck.
All right. Goodbye.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Kathy. We'll continue with Andy and more of your comments and questions. 382-4280-1-877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO.
Now is a great time to dress up landscape plantings with fresh mulch from Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. And this week, all bulk mulches are 10% off. For lasting beauty and durability for your landscape settings, get cedar mulch. Save over $3 per cubic yard this week. Need something with a little more color? Both red-dyed and mocha brown bulk mulches are 10% off. Want something a little finer around your perennial plants? Waddell's has bark fines on sale for $23.39 per cubic yard. Another favorite for dressing up landscapes and for surrounding water features is River Rock. Waddell's River Rock is 10% off this week as well. Whether you need mulch for a playground, for around your trees, or to dress up your garden beds, Waddell's has the varieties you need. And wouldn't it be nice to have your mulch brought to you? This week, get $10 off the local delivery of 1 to 10 yards of mulch. Just ask Goodell's friendly staff to set up a convenient date to have your mulch delivered to your home or business. Get your bulk mulch now for 10% off at Goodell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street.
Don't get stuck in traffic.
Honk, honk.
Traffic. Text traffic to 80373. Just another service of WKZO. From the 590 WKZO Newsroom. News now.
I'm John McNeil. The parents of Talika Patrick say they don't think her death was due to accidental drowning, and they suspect foul play. They told TV 17 that there are many questions that are still unanswered. Second autopsy was requested by the family, conducted in Indianapolis, but no details were released. GM says that the replacement parts to fix those faulty ignition switches have begun to arrive at local dealerships.
Parts had begun to ship earlier this week. We've got production working as quickly as possible. It will take some time to be able to address each and every vehicle.
Dealers will make appointments to make the repairs. From now on, scrap metal dealers will be required to take down the names and addresses of folks who bring scrap metal for sale, and any payments over $25 will be mailed out. Changes are part of reform signed into law by Governor Snyder to crack down on scrap metal thefts. For WKZO News, I'm John McNeil.
Times of clouds and sunshine today with a high of 71, mild tonight with clouds. We'll see a shower thunderstorm around a low of 56. Breezy tomorrow and cloudy, a couple of showers and storms as the high reaches 70. Steadier rain and thunderstorms likely at night, then periods of rain ending during the morning on Monday. Breezy and cooler with a high of 49. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Courtney Spamer.
Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is where Southwest Michigan has begun to bloom for over 68 years. Now's a great time to plant a lifetime of memories with beautiful bloomers from Weddell's, where the selection is super and the prices are great. Several spring blooming favorites are on sale this week, including show-off forsythia shrubs for just $19.97. For a larger focal point in your spring landscape, get a Jane Magnolia on sale for $78.88. Another showstopper in early spring is the Redbud Tree. Three varieties are on special this week. Add a variety of texture in your landscape with a French pink pussy willow shrub. They're on sale for just $10.97. If you aren't sure which plants you want where, book a consultation with Waddell's professional landscape designer. Mary can help design your landscape, a perennial bed, a water garden, or the backyard getaway of your dreams. If you book a landscape consultation or design now, you can save 15%. Stop at a visit with one of Waddell's Michigan certified nursery specialists to help you decide which plants would be best for your outdoor living area. Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
590 WKZO. We continue with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence. Joining us, of course, in the studio, your gardening expert, Andy Waddell. And if you have a comment or question, just like Trish in Vicksburg, 382-4280, 1-877, 382-4280. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning. I have a question I have a couple questions, if I could, please. The first is stumps. I have had several trees taken down last year, and rather than till or take the stumps out totally out of the ground, I'd like to plant flowers in them. However, I don't know how I go about boring the stump out and preparing it properly for growth of plants of any sort. And I was hoping that Mr. Waddell could help me with that.
Sure, Trish. What I'd say is, first of all, Trish, I'm going to make sure that it's not walnut.
Hickory. That is what it is.
Yeah, I went, yep.
On those then. How about?
No. On walnut, we've got to go. You'd have to call the store. But there is a list of plants that will tolerate walnut.
All right.
But not probably annuals. But there's a lot of perennials, and there are some woody shrubs that you could still do a nice planting with. But I would take either a hole saw.
All right. A hole saw. All
yep.
right.
And uh-huh. and a like a cordless drill and see if you can get maybe a 1-inch and maybe a 2-inch hole saw. 1 or 2 inch and work your way around that stump. Go ahead and leave a rim just like you're almost creating a pot.
Okay.
And try to drill down in there if you can to kind of relieve some of that. If you've gotten maybe some of that outside edge, a hole saw is just a round drill bit that's got teeth on it that cut out a little 1-inch section or a 2-inch section. The bigger the hole saw, the harder the work. And that's why I was thinking 1 or 2 inch that would work your way around that stump. Once you got some depth, Trish,
mm-hmm.
maybe somebody could get in there with a little hatchet and or a if you don't have a hole saw, a chainsaw could work its way in around that stump and ground out maybe a 6 to 12 inch hole. So you get a planting down in there.
six to 12 inches. All right.
Mm-hmm. The deeper you go, Trish, the better the plants are going to live. And, yes, that plant, once it gets rooted and established in that soil, it will actually like the tree trunk because it'll keep that soil a little moister than a pot.
Oh, wonderful. Okay? So there's really not any kind of special nutritional aspects that I should be considering in regard to using a tree stump as opposed to the ground itself.
That's a good question. I would probably go a little heavier in your feeds because as a tree rots or wood in general, Trish, it actually depletes or robs nutrients. So as wood rots, it'll pull nutrient out of the ground. Well, same with the stump. So we're just going to want to probably put in Fertilome potting soil.
All right. Uh-huh.
And then I would add some, we have a product from Michigan called Dairy Dew.
All right, Dairy Dew.
Yep, mm-hmm. And the Dairy Dew is you don't want to plant direct, but mixed in with some of that Fertilome, I would say that's a good combination for setting your plants in. And there is a walnut list that I didn't want to make you leery, but I want you to have some success. And
right.
So
I would prefer perennials myself anyway, just because I'm not the best with a lot of time to give to it. And
so Trish,
keep coming back.
If you want to hang on when we're done, I could get your name here and number.
Uh-huh, great.
And
great.
We could, or an email, and we could send you out that list for you.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Now, I have a couple other questions, mm-hmm. and these are real quick, I think, to answer. One is in regard to Rose of Sharon. I have a good number of Rose of Sharon with seed pods still on them from last year.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any problem with cutting off from the Rose of Sharon at this point in time?
No, ma'am. No. Okay. Prune Rose of Sharon hard right now. It'd be fine.
Trim hard. Okay. And the last question that I do have is with regard to my forsythia, which is going to be blossoming out here anytime mm-hmm. now. I do have some long, some very long, I don't want to say strands, but the growth itself
is yes,
very high that I hadn't cut off mm-hmm. in the fall. Is that going to, if I cut them off, is that going to reduce my beauty of the yellowing out on the forsythia this spring? And also, will those cuts, the cut branches, actually floral out for me if I keep them in a cold bucket of water?
Good question. Trish, usually the sucker growth or the water sprouts, the longest shoots on a forsythia usually don't set flower because they're growing so fast that they put out sprigs of growth rather than slowing down and setting a flower bud. Now, that's not always the case. Once the plant starts and gets a little more established, the way to determine is you're not going to be wasting your time. Go ahead and even if it didn't fully set flower on that branch itself, you could still do cuttings and bring them inside. Yes, some would have flower. Maybe some would at least have some green foliage that would flush out. But the longer, ganglier water sprouts or mm-hmm. sucker sprouts on a forsythia, and it's not sucker sprouts, but the gangly growth usually is first year wood and probably won't set much flower. Once established and you find that older growth, the buds on a forsythia, you can actually tell they're starting to swell and mm-hmm. there are little points on the tips of the branches. If you see some of those on those long growth, go ahead and trim it. And
okay.
you're not going to deplete. You'll probably have enough forsythia flower on your second part of your question. By pruning that, you'll probably encourage that plant to grow a little bit better. Now, if you wanted to wait till it just got done flowering in about 2 or 3 weeks, then prune it then, you can do it that time too. But right now, if you trimmed it, you could bring some of those cuttings inside. Yes, some might flower, and maybe some would just be green, but it'd still have nice foliage for you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for all of your answers.
All right.
I really appreciate the help.
All right, Trish, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, appreciate the call, Trish. And just like that, the time has come and gone on us there, Andy.
Yeah, it's a fast one today.
Yes, indeed. But those folks who didn't have a chance to get in today, we can always encourage them to call back next Saturday morning.
You bet,
anytime,
you bet.
Or
Tim,
visit
thank
the
you.
Store anytime.
Come on down the store Monday through Saturday. You bet, everybody. Thank you all.
All right, thank you very much, Andy. We will do this again next Saturday morning over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. Brought to you by Waddell Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milam and 12th. And again, be sure to tune in next Saturday morning, same time, right after the 9 o'clock news, over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO. Ron Weiser, financial planner, next. CBS News at 10 o'clock on 590
WKZO.